Valuable Career Lessons I Learned in Dad's Workshop. Volume 1. Be Creative, Plan Ahead. Written by Harry T. Roman. Narrated by Kat Lookabaugh. Introduction. It's amazing what you can learn apprentice to someone who knows how to teach and mentor. I was fortunate to have a father who loved to solve problems and invent things on the spot. The vignettes I present here in two volumes are very relevant to modern-day discussions about engineering. My dad was a colorful fellow, as many of my friends would remember, laughing, teasing, and often playing practical jokes. But the man could solve problems. He was an inventor, too. All of his qualities and abilities had a powerful effect on me, especially in my preteen years, as I was developing a profound affinity for invention and a fellow named Thomas Edison. My dad thought about and solved problems like Edison. Today in retirement, I lecture and docent at the legendary Edison West Orange, New Jersey Labs at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park. Am I a lucky guy or what? I gathered the vignettes you will listen to here from a variety of sources spread over 40-plus years. I have related these stories in bits and pieces in oral and written form from conversations, articles, teacher resource books, and from various papers, including my IEEE North Jersey section newsletter. I have nostalgically stitched together this collection, edited as needed, and added some Edison quotes as well. Throughout our lives, we all learn from a variety of sources. I am grateful to have learned so much through the heart of a loving father. My childhood years were my wonder years, still returning massive dividends today. I often work with middle school students aspiring to be the next Edison. Few days go by when I do not think of Dad's old workshop. Sometimes I go there in my dreams for a refresher course. It's okay if you laugh. I still do today. I pass along these lessons so that you may share with your children or perhaps with your employees. Thanks, Dad. In this first volume, we'll cover being creative and planning ahead, two very important aspects of the modern workplace. In the second volume, we'll address being responsible, communicating, and continuous learning. Harry T. Roman, IEEE Life Senior Member. Be creative. When you grow up in a house with a big basement workshop and a father who lives and breathes unstructured problem solving, you can't help but be influenced by it, especially if you're the designated wizard's apprentice. Even today, my wife is afraid to let me see her throw something out for fear it will come back as something else. Around our house are bits and pieces of old appliances and household accessories that have been reincarnated as other useful items. Those days in Dad's old basement workshop stay with me. Dad and I recycled everything. An overhead light in my attic was once a table lamp, somewhat modified and mounted upside down. I fixed our old microwave 3 times before the main element blew. I may have the greatest collection of ancient electrical fixtures in existence. Every room is different in my more than 90-year-old house as far as light fixtures go. I have the most unusual electrical and wiring doohickeys and thingamabobs you ever saw. I can wire up and hang stuff from those ancient electrical boxes and fixtures, the likes of which you ain't never seen. I'm really ready for anything that comes my way. Think about it. Those cans of strange electrical fixtures are really stored creativity, just waiting to be unleashed. An essential part of my apprenticeship in Dad's workshop was the lesson that spare parts are a goldmine to stimulate creative thought. To invent, you need a good imagination and a pile of junk. Thomas Edison. Living in a house with my overly creative father was tough on my mom. She couldn't throw anything out because it would never go away. Dad always figured out how to fix it. Let me relate a very interesting and somewhat humorous story, the one cemented in my mind forever, that my father was a Thomas Edison clone. I was already convinced he was an incredibly gifted problem solver, but this instance went way over the top. It happened while I was in engineering college, slogging my way through the usual 5 hours of homework a night. It must have been around 8 p.m. when I heard Dad yell upstairs, "Hey, Einstein! his nickname for me in college. Battle stations! We got a big problem here. Down in the workshop, now. I abandoned my books on electromagnetic fields and waves and came down from my upstairs bedroom study, two stairs at a time. Mom was standing there, dumbfounded. I asked what the problem was. She muttered, "All I said was the toaster wasn't heating up, and then he swooped in like a dive bomber. He had a funny look on his face, yelled for you, and headed straight for the basement workshop and slammed the workshop door. I have seen this look on his face before. You have to stop him," she urged. "He had the same look on his face when he fixed that old clothes dryer downstairs. He is going to fix that toaster again, and I want a new 4-slice model. We've had that toaster for 25 years. When I tapped out the super-secret hand-knock code on the workshop door and Dad opened it, his face was grim. He was already prepped for surgery with the toaster disassembled on the main workbench, its pieces neatly laid out. "It's serious, son. Real serious. Look right here. The main heating element connection has failed. It could be an all-nighter. This toaster is only 25 years old. I might have to write the manufacturer about shoddy workmanship. I hate to do it, but I'll give them hell over this. It's up to you now, boy. You are the electrical engineer. I need some big-time ideas. Let's brainstorm. How are we going to reconnect that heating element?" Ever see the TV show House, where the quirky but brilliant doctor assembles his team around a whiteboard, they brainstorm and pool their ideas over confusing medical data about a seriously ill patient? That is what This Evening Long Past Now reminds me of. We arrived at the conclusion that we needed to spot weld the connection back to the heating element. It was the only way to save the patient. All I could picture was Mom upstairs smiling and looking at new toasters in the latest Sears catalog. Who has a spot welder just lying around, I wondered. All we had was a big welding unit. It would never work on this small electrical lead and heating element. It would burn them both up. That toaster is toast, I thought. Then I heard my dad whisper, "We'll make a spot welder. All we need are 2 carbon rods, and we can scavenge them from some old batteries." He tossed me 2 old, used-up batteries, instructed me to cut the cases lengthwise, and take out the carbon rods whole. I had no idea he saved used batteries, but he informed me that carbon rods have lots of uses. "Never throw things out that have a possible use," he admonished. Next, I found myself wiring up a plug to some electrical cord and jury-rigging a connection to each carbon rod. As I was completing this task, I mentioned to Dad that he was just going to blow the circuit breaker when he tried to spot weld the connection. Dad just smiled and kept searching for something in the myriad of boxes and containers under the workbench. In triumph, he emerged with an old sewing machine foot pedal and a wisecrack that tonight I was going to learn a trick out of the world of hard knocks, something that no book on electrical engineering was ever going to teach me. Dad handed me the foot pedal and told me to wire it into the circuit with the carbon rods, also reminding me about how even appliances like sewing machines have useful parts for scavenging, like this foot pedal. Dad said the foot pedal would be the variable resistance we needed so the circuit breaker wouldn't blow. Ready to start, Dad worked the foot pedal to get the feel of how much play he had to work with. The breaker popped, telling us his limit. Heading over to reset the breaker, I heard Mom upstairs in the parlor directly overhead. "What's happening down there?" she questioned. The lights flickered. "You're fixing that old toaster, aren't you?" I heard the Sears catalog hit the floor. Mom was crushed as Dad continued to experiment with the foot pedal. I will never forget the tiny blue flashes that came from the carbon rods, a beautiful violet light that danced around the electrical lead, leaving telltale wisps of pungent blue smoke. Dad was smiling like a kid as the smoke lingered around his nostrils. "Go get the bread," he whispered, "and some butter and jelly. It's breakfast time, and I'm starved. It either works or it doesn't, but I know it will." I slithered up the cellar stairs, avoiding Mom, who was probably at a full boil just about now, and quietly brought the bread and accessories downstairs. In went the bread, down went the slide, and then the heating coils sprang to life. Dad looked over at me, and he smiled once more. "Write this circuit up, take it over to your professors tomorrow, and see what they make of it," he said proudly. That was the best buttered toast I ever remember. After finishing my bread and butter, I returned to my fields and wave theory, but it all seemed so lifeless and dry. 3 hours had elapsed. I had just emerged from a real-life crucible. I was dog-tired, sweaty, and my brain ached from moving quickly through so many options and fast brainstorming a solution. The old man had just taken me on a roller coaster ride with a slam-bang finish. I began to appreciate why Dad was always so beat after work. Creating and inventing on the spot is hard work, and that was what he did all day long. He tackled everything at work that nobody else could figure out. I began learning about his joy of invention. It was infectious. I find out what the world needs. Then I go ahead and try to invent it. Thomas Edison. I'm holding that old sewing machine pedal in my hands now as I recreate this memory, still fuzzy from all the details I tried to capture for you in this humorous story. Creativity is more about life situations and how people think than about IQ. Don't get caught in the trap of thinking creativity is the province of genius. The sad truth is, we breed out the natural creativity of our children by giving them too much structure. Their brains are wired to handle complexity, so stretch them. I don't know of any cases of death by excessive thinking. The teachers I remember most, those who were so influential on my life, were the ones who cared enough to make me put my natural creativity to work. To them, I owe a huge debt. Those teachers took up where my father's mentorship left off. It was a seamless interface between Dad's old workshop, school, and eventually the workplace. I wonder what school would be like today if every class was double or triple periods in length that rotated through the week, and if lesson plans included plenty of hands-on time to solve real problems. I think it would give the old phrase Yankee ingenuity renewed vigor. Plan ahead. Dad grew up on a farm in a family of meager means with lots of siblings. I mean lots of siblings, 8 brothers and sisters. He learned early the realities of economy in thought, action, and purchase. His dad taught him to fix broken farm equipment by hand right there on the spot. My dad's life was loaded with plenty of challenges. It was a life epitomized by planning ahead, the old carpenter's axiom coming to mind: measure twice, cut once. If it had wheels or used metal in its operation, my dad could fix it. My dad's senior class trip was World War II, and those hard-learned farm skills became valuable immediately. In the jungles of the South Pacific, his naval detachment fixed anything the Japanese forces blew up that the Marines needed fixed. He had to use whatever he had on hand. Head-in-hands thinking was natural to my dad. Very natural. The kind of skills that stay with you for a lifetime. Hell, there are no rules here. We are trying to accomplish something. Thomas Edison. My earliest memories of home life involve working with Dad to solve household problems. To him, it was just an extension of his farm life, except now he had a wife, 3 kids of his own, and a house to keep running. Down in the basement, I was apprenticed to a man who taught me how to get my hands around a problem and how to use my head. First, we built our home workshop. Then we stocked it with tools, equipment, old salvaged parts, and whatever we could scrounge from old appliances beyond repair. Nothing got wasted. I can't begin to remember how many old radios, TVs, and electronic gizmos I stripped and the parts I saved for our spare parts inventory. Dad even set up a small welding station in case we needed it. I christened the workshop Geppetto and Son, in honor of the then-popular Walt Disney animated movie Pinocchio, about a craftsman who creates a puppet who becomes his real-life son. I still have that old sign hanging in my basement workshop. I remember learning how to cut plywood using a circular saw, wiring electrical circuits, painting and plastering walls, and making a large scraping tool for removing old linoleum from the kitchen floor, and then laying a new plywood floor over that. We made forms and poured concrete for the new backyard sidewalk, built stair railings, and cut a hole in a brick wall for the exhaust for Mom's new gas clothes dryer. We patched roofs with asphalt, fixed the car, built brick walls, planted trees and gardens, and repaired broken windows, all before I was 12 years old. Dad also taught me how to stoke the old coal-fired boiler in the basement to keep her running. Dad told me all the time how important it was to plan ahead and to anticipate what tools might be needed to do a job. Having the right tools at the right time would make all the difference, according to my dad. On this point, there was no negotiation. It was an inviolate rule of the workshop. He never missed an opportunity to make me use my planning and organization tools. "Hey, Schultz," another nickname he had for me. "Tomorrow morning we are going to rebuild the carburetor on the Chevy and change the points and plugs. Tonight I want you to lay out the tools and parts we'll need. The points and plugs and carb rebuild kit are downstairs on the main workbench. You need to make sure we have the right tools in the toolbox." The penalty for not having the right tools was always the same. If I caused the work to stop for want of a tool, I had to put all the tools back in the toolbox, lug it all the way back to the workshop, get the right tool, and lug them all the way back again. Then I always had to hear the old refrain. When you become an engineer and are out in the field with your men doing a complicated job, it is the engineer's responsibility to make sure his people have the necessary tools and materials to get the job done right and safely. What will the chief engineer think of a young engineer who can't understand what the job involves? That old routine stayed with me my entire engineering career. My crews were always prepared. It did not make sense to take all the tools I could and then load the toolbox with them to make sure I had everything. That old steel toolbox weighed a ton when full. The whole gist of Dad's activity was to learn to take the right tools. It made me appreciate how to plan and organize well. If Dad were alive today, he would be all over technology education. Head and hands thinking was right up his alley. On the job, he gained quite a reputation for teaching new bus mechanics how to think on their feet. Dad would sabotage something they had just fixed and then make them diagnose it all over again. I remember a particularly funny episode. A bus was stalled out on the main road near our house. Dad happened by in the old Chevy, and he stopped to lend a hand. The bus was not from the garage he worked out of, and he had already retired from the bus company after 40 years of service. Dad helped the young mechanic get it started, and he showed the mechanic some very interesting techniques for diagnosing diesel engine problems. When the mechanic asked his name, Dad just said to tell the garage supervisor that a guy named Mickey, his work nickname, stopped by and offered his advice. By the time he got home, the phone was ringing. It was his old friend, the supervisor, and soon they were swapping jokes on the phone. Dad loved totally unstructured situations, as though it was good fun to outthink the other guy. He started early, introducing me to thinking on my feet. One of his favorite tricks was a variation on the tools in the toolbox planning and organization routine. As we were taking the toolbox to the site of the work, Dad would steal one of the tools just before we started work. He would look at me. Instead of making me go get another one, he would simply say, "Well, I didn't bring the keys to the workshop with me, so I guess it's closed. You can't go back for a replacement tool. I guess you'll have to make do with the tools you already have." "What's that? I think I hear Mom calling me." "Go ahead, Schultz, have at it. Show me what you can do." I had to do this all the time in the war. Sometimes while the enemy was shooting at us. "Let's see what you think." He would return a few minutes later. Let me tell you, it was a very creative episode, especially with him breathing down my neck and mumbling in the background, "I thought you told me you wanted to be an engineer. Well, show me some creative on-the-spot engineering." I wish Dad was here today to challenge me like he used to. It made an enormous difference in how I handle myself when faced with a problem and the creativity I bring to my designs, inventions, and writing. I have more respect for the fellow with a single idea who gets there than for the fellow with 1,000 ideas who does nothing. Thomas Edison. The really great jobs in the industry involve being a project manager where you lead a team of people to complete a complex task or maybe develop a new product. It's exactly the kind of work I did for most of my 36-year career, only I was involved with trying to build first-of-a-kind machines or devices. It was all seat-of-the-pants flying. We had no past experience to go on. No one had ever done before what my team and I were attempting. Every project was brand new. That's why they call it R&D. If my planning and organization skills had not been good, I would never have survived in that environment. These are skills business leaders will reward handsomely. Such skills maximize scarce corporate resources, demonstrating to senior management that you know the importance of caring for and husbanding the company's property, and that property includes money, equipment, time, and people power. In 36 years on the job, I never overran a budget, something I am immensely proud of. I attribute that to my dad and the planning and organization lessons I learned in his old basement workshop. About the author. Harry T. Roman holds 12 U.S. patents, has received numerous engineering, invention, and teaching awards, and has published more than 550 scientific papers, articles, monographs, and books. In 1999, the New Jersey Technology Education and Engineering Association named him a Distinguished Technology Educator. In 2005, the New Jersey Inventors Hall of Fame honored Roman with an Inventor of the Year Award for his application of mobile robots in hazardous work environments. In 1996, IEEE honored him with a Meritorious Achievement Award for developing continuing education products for IEEE members. Again, in 2006, IEEE honored Roman with an Outstanding Engineer Award. He received IEEE's 2015 Region 1 Excellence in Teaching Award. Every month, more than 250,000 educators read his feature articles appearing in various national publications. In the Public Service Electric and Gas Company's R&D group, where he worked for 36 years, Roman directed and consulted on more than $100 million worth of projects and programs. He also taught graduate-level R&D project management courses at the New Jersey Institute of Technology, NJIT. Throughout Roman's engineering career, he worked with schools around the state, bringing the excitement of real-world problem-solving into the classroom. Retired since 2006, Roman has published more than 70 resource books, math card games, and science kits for teachers, products valued for their head-in-hands approach to teaching creativity, invention, STEM, engineering, and alternative energy topics in the classroom. Roman now spends many hours in the classroom working with teachers and students in West Orange, Montclair, and Livingston, conducting special student project team challenges. He is an advisor and author to the Edison Innovation Foundation and docent and special lecturer at the Thomas Edison National Historical Park in West Orange. Roman also admits to writing and publishing poetry and short stories. For the past 3 years, Roman has been teaching graduate school at Montclair State University in their teaching college. He co-teaches a unique course about applying STEM techniques in the classroom. This has been Valuable Career Lessons I Learned in Dad's Workshop, Volume 1, Be Creative, Plan Ahead, written by Harry T. Roman, narrated by Kat Lokabaugh.